To the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, to him be glory forever. Amen. His word, which forms a portion for our sermon text this morning, is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that the things which happened to me actually took place to advance the gospel. And so, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to all the rest that I am in chains because of Christ. And through my chains, the majority of the brothers in the Lord have become much more confident about daring to speak the word of God fearlessly. Some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, and others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am placed here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking they can cause trouble for me while I am in chains. What does it matter? Only this, that in every way, whether for outward appearance or for the truth, Christ is being proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. This is the word of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace are yours through your God and Father, through your Savior from sin, Jesus Christ, to your fellow redeemed. How patient is your patience? We live in a day and age where it has become less and less common that we have to wait for things. It's nice. It's nice to have things like microwaves, two-day shipping, plane travel that allows us to go great distances in mere hours. But as nice as all of these conveniences are, I think that as a result of them, things like them, we have become quite poor at waiting, at being patient. When something that comes up which requires us now to wait, well, we get all the more frustrated because, quite simply, we're not used to it. As convenient as waiting might seem, there are some rewards to waiting. Waiting allows us to develop a sense of anticipation. If something takes time, it also gives you time to reflect on what's going on. When something does not just happen instantly, and then it finally does happen, well, then it's all the more sweeter. In our sermon text this morning, the Apostle Paul was waiting. But what he was waiting for, well, it wasn't too desirable. Philippians is one of what we call Paul's prison letters. He's writing this letter to the Christians at Philippi while he was in jail at Rome waiting for his upcoming trial. He had plenty of time for reflection in jail. As a result of that imprisonment, we have been given these prison letters, which contain just gems. Paul's immediate future, that didn't look so good. But Paul is always good about keeping focus on the bigger picture. Worthwhile things often take time. Just look at the plan of salvation. How long did it take before the fullness of time had come when the Messiah was born? It took thousands and thousands of years since man's fall into sin. Great things do not just happen overnight. Paul, he wrote this letter in the city of Rome. What do they say about that city? It wasn't built in a day. Paul had to wait a long time for his deliverance. So too must we. There's a reason why we're all here. There's a reason why we are waiting. We are here for the advancement of Christ's gospel. It is a war of attrition. Progress is not always instantaneous or even visible, but our victory is assured, so we wait. This waiting to us is not an inconvenience. Rather, it is a blessing. It is a privilege. We wait for our Lord, and in the meantime, we move the chains. So we pray, O Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Verses 12 and 13. I want you to know, brothers, that the things which happened to me actually took place to advance the gospel. And so it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard to all the rest that I am in chains because of Christ. Life is not a sprint. It is a marathon. It is a process. And above all, it is not easy. It is a struggle. The Apostle Paul knew struggle quite well. He summarized his struggles once, summed it all up in 2 Corinthians. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and 1 day I had been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. That list there, those were all the things that Paul was talking about. The things which happened to him, which took place to advance the gospel. We recently went through Paul's first missionary journey here in Bible class. It was on that trip, that first journey, where Paul references here the time he got stoned. It was on that trip that happened. What was his conclusion? After Paul was stoned, got up and lived through that experience, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. In the moment, it can be very hard to have that attitude. When we are in pain, well, we're not looking to see significance in that pain, whether that pain is just regular pain or pain for the gospel's sake. We don't want to see it as significant. We just want the pain to go away. If we place significance on our pain, if we place meaning on it, well, then it's usually the wrong kind of meaning. It's a very human thing to conclude, I am suffering, therefore God must be angry with me. We know, of course, that's not the case, but it is certainly easy to feel that way. It is challenging to face adversity. It's even harder to face it knowing that you do it for the glory of God. Being a Christian does not mean glory. It means standing up for the Savior and His word. It means not living like the rest of the world. It means not caring how that world views you. Paul was not ashamed of being a prisoner. He could see that it was, in his words, for the advancement of the gospel. And he could even see that the prisoners who were watching over him, they could see this also. The advancement of the gospel was the reason Paul was there in prison. But this wasn't shameful. Paul concludes in Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." And yet, that's not how the world views it. Humans, quite reactionary, we think, that person has all these things in their life, all these things going for them. They must be doing something right with God. Or we think, wow, that person is real miserable. They must have done something wrong to offend God. Did Paul here in prison look like a successful missionary? No. He looked like a beat-down prisoner. Did Jesus look like a conquering king? No. In his life, a very simple life, he did not look like that, especially not nailed to a cross. Do we look like a thriving church? No, not really. Not the way the world would view that. We don't have a huge building and a vast membership. But looks can be deceiving. We aren't called to look good. No, we're called to preach the word, to advance that gospel. It can be a slog at times, doesn't mean it's not worth slogging through. Verse 14. And through my chains, the majority of the brothers in the Lord have become much more confident about daring to speak the word of God fearlessly. It is fall. It is football season. It will come to a surprise to no one here, I think, that I watch quite a bit of football. You know what's really frustrating to watch? A football team that's vanilla and conservative. It's not fun to watch a team run the ball for 3 yards. Run it again for 3 more yards. Run it one more time for 4 yards. It's painful. You want your team to throw the ball all over the field to gain swaths of yards. You want to witness exciting and explosive plays. But if you convert first downs, if your team moves the chains, does it really matter how they do it? What Paul did wasn't glamorous. It was hard. It was painful. He suffered for what he did. But he was willing to suffer because Jesus was worth it. His chains, his imprisonment, had an effect. Others noticed it, and they became more daring to speak the word of God fearlessly. It seems as much as Paul's suffering grew and grew, so did the church. So did the word of the Lord. But it seems that there were also mixed results to Paul being imprisoned. Some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, and others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am placed here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking they can cause trouble for me while I am in chains. The suffering that Paul suffered had both positive and negative effects. It was encouraging to those who understood what Paul was doing and who he was doing it for. But false teachers also seized on the vacuum of his presence. Many words in these prison letters is Paul talking to congregations, warning them about people who are like this. His imprisonment strengthened the brethren, but also provided false teachers an opportunity to spread their false doctrine. How can we determine if we are making progress or not? Advancing the chains, advancing that gospel. Well, it's hard to see sometimes. It's hard to see because you're looking for something that you cannot necessarily see results of. Yes, at times we can see the results of spiritual efforts, but even at these times, once more, looks can be deceiving. If I, as a pastor, see a huge increase in membership and in offerings, well, I could say, man, the Lord is really working through me lately. And I wouldn't be wrong. The conclusion, the Lord is working through me, is still valid, but things like membership and offerings do not determine that. In football, you can see if your team is moving the chains because physically they do it. Spiritually, there are no such markers. So how do we determine progress? Well, it's not really our concern. It's nice to see it when it happens, sure, but even then, that is not certain proof that we're doing everything that we should be doing. So how can we make sure that we are advancing that gospel? There's a line from a recent book. The book is called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of those habits is put like this in that book. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Kind of like that line. It's very hard to do, though, because we get distracted by so many things. Other things which are not very important at all in the long run become more important to us than they should. When it comes to advancing that gospel, what's the main thing to keep the main thing? The main thing is the gospel. How do we determine if we're making progress doing that? It doesn't matter. Seeing progress, that is not our concern. All that matters is that we keep preaching Christ crucified, keep preaching that gospel message. It's such a simple message that it often gets lost. It's been lost so many times over the years. That's why the Reformation, after all, was so vital. The church had added other focuses besides keeping the main thing the main thing. Like we have to cooperate with God to earn grace. Or like we have to do certain things to not end up in purgatory, which is not in the Bible at all. Or like we can't translate the Bible into the language of the people. The Reformation came along and provided, once again, the focus of making the gospel the main thing. When the main thing is kept, the main thing, that is the gospel, then nothing else really matters. Verse 18, what does it matter? Only this, that in every way, whether for outward appearance or for the truth, Christ is being proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Paul's whole point here is there's only so much that he could control. He couldn't control whether or not he was in chains or if he was going to be let go. He couldn't control what other people were saying and thinking about him. He couldn't control what other people were preaching throughout the churches. All he could do was preach the gospel, even in this limited way from a jail cell. At this time, it must have been frustrating for Paul to do that, to have to only be able to communicate through these letters. Especially for this man, this missionary who traveled the world, started most of these congregations. It must have been very painful for him to not be able to personally travel and check in on these churches. And yet, here today, centering around our worship around this word, these prison letters, Paul's fruits still provide us a gift. When you look at the bigger picture, it is really quite simple. Boil it all down. What are we doing here? Well, we preach the word. What does the word say? Well, it says the law and gospel. Says that we are doomed sinners who are destined to die and go to hell. We cannot keep the law, try as we might. We will not be justified by doing anything that is in the Ten Commandments. We are so totally depraved by sin. This means that we are headed for death and destruction. The sinner dies not just in this world, but the sinner dies eternally. This knowledge of this law breaks our stony hearts of sin, and the Holy Spirit takes us, turns us around into repentance. Then the gospel, that word which simply means good news, comes in. It says, there is nothing that you need to do about your sin. There's nothing you can do, in fact. It's all been done for you already. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has died on the cross and paid for your sin. You now receive his righteousness and gain eternal life with him in heaven. It really is quite simple. It's so simple, in fact, that it becomes hard. That is, it's impossibly hard to understand law and gospel truly without the gift of faith. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. To those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now look, none of what I'm saying here today is breaking news. It's nothing that you haven't heard before. We all know that we're sinful. We all know Jesus died for my sins. Why do we keep on repeating these two facts over and over, Sunday after Sunday? Well, it's to keep the main thing the main thing. Yes, we've heard law and gospel before, but we need constant reminders of these things. We need reminders not because the word is insufficient, no, because we are. We need to hear about how sinful we are. But we also need to hear that Jesus died for those sins and that we have been forgiven. Then we go out and sin again. But we keep the main thing the main thing. Visible progress is overrated. How patient is your patience? Have you been able to develop the ability to wait for something without going completely insane? It's hard to do. Really, it's a trait that comes from God only. Above all else, God is patient. That is what his loving mercy is. It is God's patience with us. It's patience in practice. We, like Paul was, are called to advance that gospel message. It's an exercise in patience. You don't get instant results preaching the word all the time. It may seem at times like there is zero progress being made. Being a Christian in this world, it's a war of attrition. You keep on preaching the word until you die. How do we keep doing this without seeing any visible signs of progress? How can we do all these things? Because our victory, dear Christians, has already been assured to you through that word. The gospel we preach is good news because it takes people like us, people destined to die in sin forever, and it places us at the gates of heaven. The good news that Jesus has died for us is a message of victory. Because of what Jesus has done, you win. Nothing else matters. So what if we're looked down on by the world? So what if we suffer for our faith in this world? So what if we don't see spiritual progress in our mission? We have won the battle over Satan and death because Jesus has won that battle for us. That is why we are called to merely advance that message of victory. The battle's already over. We will enjoy the fruits of that victory with our Savior Jesus forever in heaven. Amen. Please rise.